Welcome back to Stutter Talk. Peter Wrights is here with Vivian Siskin for her second day of residency in this week-long series with Vivian Siskin. Hey, Vivian.
Hi.
This is episode 504 for March 24th, 2015. The topic is management versus choice. Vivian Siskin is a clinical professor in the Department of Hearing and Speech Sciences at the University of Maryland and a board-certified specialist in fluency disorders. Ms. Siskin runs the Siskin Stuttering Center in Virginia and is well known for her work in avoidance reduction therapy. I think by the fifth episode, the bio will probably be cut in half because I think people are going to be able to recite it by heart.
I think so.
But for the first couple, you know. So management versus choice. Wow. Start us off on this topic of how to think about these perhaps separate or, you know, related issues.
Yeah, I think it's even, there's another one we can put in there too. Management versus choice versus control. I'm going to throw in control, which in the context of the therapy that I do happens to be one of those seven-letter dirty words. We do have some dirty words that we're not allowed to say in therapy, and that's one of them.
Wait, I'm counting fluency. So is fluency one of them? I hope.
Fluency and control are two of those seven-letter words. But I'll go back and talk a little bit. I think it all comes down to the overlying concept of suppression, if I can go step back a little bit. Please. And talk about suppression. So I think that one of the problems that maintains stuttering is, from my mentor, Joe Sheehan, a quote for him is, successful suppression of stuttering is what maintains and perpetuates it. Mm. And he came up with the suppression hypothesis, which basically talks about the evils of suppression. It's not even about avoidance. It's one step further. It's about suppression.
Wait, so, I'm sorry, but is that like denial a bit or different?
It's a little different. Suppression is just a stronger way of talking about avoidance. So if you are trying to avoid stuttering, successful avoidance allows you to suppress it. So suppression can be in many areas. You can suppress the actual stuttering moment, the part word repetitions, and I'll give you an example. So I'll start with my name. My name is Vivian, and let's say I don't want to hear that. I don't want to show that, and I'm a little kid, and I figure out that if I do something a little different, it'll come out fluent. For example, my name is Vivian. And that little interjection, that little was sufficient distraction for me to move fluently through the word that I actually feared. And pretty soon that becomes part of my pattern. And one of the ways that secondary behaviors can be described as developing in the pattern. But that suppression of my part word repetition led to a secondary behavior. So other ways that we avoid or suppress stuttering, for example, word substitutions, repeating previous words and phrases, pretending to think, all of the escape and avoidance behaviors that people think of when it comes to stuttering serve to suppress stuttering. When people are successful at suppressing it, hiding it, concealing it, what happens is that the fear of stuttering becomes greater and greater. And people expect not to hear that stuttering, and so they become less sensitized to hearing it. Suppression also exists in the feelings and attitudes area as well. So let's say showing that stuttering might bring up some fear or shame or you know, showing the stuttering would bring up some shame or embarrassment or frustration. By hiding it, or by avoiding a situation where you don't experience that shame, you're actually suppressing shame too. So there's a whole pattern that develops in stuttering of not only suppressing the outward stuttering movements, expression of it in terms of behaviors, but suppressing the feelings and attitudes and thoughts as well. So I don't want to order my food here because I don't want to feel that feeling. And I don't want to think that thought that they'll think that there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. So
can I add one?
Sure.
Or try to add one?
Absolutely.
Or you could correct me if it's a little different, but I really think that I suppressed as a kid and a young adult trying to think about stuttering. Like I can remember someone teasing me about stuttering and me not saying anything, because if I said something about stuttering, I'd have to think about it and I'd have to admit I was doing it or avoiding it or whatever. So I think I tried to suppress even the word stuttering, being a conscious thought, but I don't know if you think that's a separate thing.
No, in fact, that's one of the ones I mentioned, because it's not only the behavior, but the feelings and the thoughts. So thoughts about what other people are thinking, but also your own thoughts, which make you feel bad about yourself. Mm. And one I'm going to add, and even another one, we can go on and add, but sure. I will add another one that I think is even the most important, and that is hiding or suppressing your role in life as a person who stutters.
Love it. Love it.
And yeah. Suppressing the idea. So if no one sees me stutter, no one will know I stutter. And that concealment is really about the role conflict and stuttering. So there's this general idea of suppression across the board that we both talked about here. When you think about therapy, a lot of people talk about, well, I think I'm going to give you some tools to, I don't want to get into tools now, but I want to give you some ways that you can control your stuttering. And that's what we're going to do in therapy. Or people who don't want to use the word control even might even say, let's think of ways we manage stuttering. And I think that speech language pathologists all at this point might agree, I don't want to say all, but many might agree that when you go into older childhood and adolescence, adulthood with stuttering, that you probably are going to show some stuttering or have some stuttering in your profile the rest of your life. It's not curable. But so this notion of management, it has become very popular. How do you, what does management mean to you? And one of my colleagues, Trish Zabrowski, got a bunch of her friends together once, and we actually sat around after couple of glasses of wine, sure. sat around and with a microphone talking about what stuttering management meant to us. And you can imagine me sitting at the table, how I rejected the idea of management. So I feel like managing is another way of suppressing, controlling, because
it sounds oppressive, but I'm sorry, because I'm agreeing with you. It's like an oppressive word, management. But
yeah, when you think of manage in another settings, when someone manages you, they control what you do. They are in charge of what you do. Hmm. And so I don't think that people need to be in charge of their stuttering. They need to allow themselves to make choices about how they stutter. So I prefer choice rather than management, and choice over control, and to let go of suppression at every level.
So for somebody who's listening, and I have in mind some regular listeners who contact us, I can already see the emails coming in. Well, the ones saying, yes, we agree with Vivian, but also the ones that say, isn't that political correctness? Isn't that a little too touchy-feely? So what do you say to somebody who says to you, it's just words, we're really talking about using speech tools here?
Yeah, so I love that you asked me that. I feel like I gave you that test.
I think you did.
The language that people use to describe their stuttering, to think about their stuttering, language is so important. And I think that if you know Wendell Johnson, originally wrote about semantics, semantics are incredibly important, not only in the counseling process, but in terms of the change process. And if we use words that evoke control and suppression, then we're going to think in terms of control and suppression. A good example of the way language can influence change in therapy is the notion of language of responsibility. So if you say, oh, that substitution just crept in there, I go, really? Does it look like a little bug creeping in there? Did it happen to you? Or did you make a choice to substitute a word? And yeah. So I get my clients to start thinking about the words they use as indicators of their ability to make change. So I substituted a word lets them know that they can make a choice not to. And so, yes, I think the words you use are important. And I don't, and so, and then I don't think that that choice involves using tools or strategies. I think choices are things, the choices you make end up being to embrace the stuttering and show the stuttering and let go of the desire to hide and conceal, as opposed to making a choice to hide and suppress and to pretend that you're someone who doesn't stutter.
What would you also say that within that choice, a person will choose if and when they want to stutter less or try to stutter less or try to stutter differently? Is that also choice?
Yes. And making the choice to try to stutter less will result in stuttering more. And I think that every person who stutters knows that. And that's part of the choices. So if you choose to hide or you choose to try to be fluent, pretty much everybody knows the consequences of that. There are other choices that might be better. And I think that the number one thing is for people to learn the choices that they have. And when I work with kids and they've come out of therapy programs that are a little more structured in terms of tools and fluency enhancing strategies, I don't think that they really have been introduced to the range of choices that they have.
And there is a range, and let me pretty much give you the same example that you just gave me, because when I was listening to you talk about Wendell Johnson and semantics, what I love that work of his, and I love how his work and Dean Williams' work talk about this. And I know that you cite Dean Williams all the time, and I love how they talk about stuttering isn't happening to me. Stuttering is something that I'm doing. Is that wrapped up in this management versus choice stuff?
Yes, absolutely. It's all connected. You're changed. I'm going to quote my mentor again. I give him lots of credit for my growth. I met him when I was early in my journey to understanding stuttering, and I got a nice start. But he said that you're changed by what you do, not what you think, consider, emote, plan. So the idea is doing, and also, you know, that's the doing language comes from Dean Williams as well. I think that you can talk about things, you can plan things, you can consider things, but the proof is in the doing. And so making choices to do is a very important part of change.
I love that. And you know where I first heard that about change is made by what you do? Was by Dorvin Breitenfeld. Before I read Dean Williams or Wendell Johnson, mm-hmm. I met Dorvin Breitenfeld, and that was how he talked. And it made me feel so strong to hear him talk about that with confidence, like he meant it, and with a stutter.
Yeah. And what's so interesting is that I find as I go out and talk around the country that people are saying to me, wow, this is great new stuff. And no, this is really, really old stuff.
Yeah. Wow. And you know, Vivian, I can talk to you about this all day, but we're keeping your week-long residency to a week and not a month. So I think we're going to wrap it up there with management versus choice versus control. And boy, you're right in line with Stutter Talk. You're really making me think about stuttering. So thank you, Ms. Siskin.
Oh, you're welcome.